Well, because it's Easter and a special time, I'm going to share a story that I don't often tell people. And that is a story about the time that I was stabbed. As you can see now, I'm fine. There was no permanent damage. But I was stabbed so severely once in the leg that I couldn't walk for a week. I was bedridden. And it took me months and months of recovery until I could walk and run and jump again. And in that time of being stabbed, you're starting to wonder about my baggage, aren't you? Like, what kind of past do you have? You're wondering. I'll tell you the story a little bit later. But I want to tell you later how God used that process of being wounded to bring about healing in my life. But first, I want to ask about you. Have you ever been wounded? Laugh about that, right? It's a ridiculous question, isn't it? If you look right now, look around at the people in the church, okay? What you see is not a bunch of perfect people who have it all together. They may look like that if you don't know them. But if you get to know them, you will realize that you are looking at a person who's been wounded. You're looking at a person who is carrying in some pain because everybody hurts. Everybody has those problems where we struggle sometimes and we hurt. And in fact, a lot of us in this room are maybe limping along, or maybe we're crawling, or maybe we're not even doing that. But we all are people who knows what it's like to bleed and to hurt, to be wounded. Now, maybe your wounds came from your parents. Maybe they were severe and nothing that you ever did was quite good enough. And you still, if you're honest, kind of battle with that sense of what I did was never good enough for my dad or for my mom. And they made you feel small. All of us have been at times rejected in some way. There was somebody or some group that just made us feel like an outcast. Or there's those times, and some of our wounds are self-inflicted. And maybe we look back at those times and we wish we could take it back. We feel this regret and we feel like we still are tortured by those things or that thing that we did that we wish we could take back. We wish we could undo. But a lot of the wounds that we have were inflicted upon us by someone else or by a situation. Some of us have had some terribly crushing losses in life that have just rendered us paralyzed from the pain, and they've been just damaging to us. Some of us have been ridiculed. We've been humiliated, and we have memories. We can remember things back in the past that would happen. Somebody that called us a name or made us feel horrible in some way, where we were betrayed, abandoned. Some of the wounds that we have of the people here, this church full of people who limp, this church full of people who have been wounded, some of the wounds that some of us carry seem like they're never going to heal. And today, what we're going to do is we are going to look at the death and the resurrection, the life and the teachings of Jesus, for perspective on what it's like to live as people who carry wounds with us. And today we want to say that if you are here, you're not a Christian, you don't believe in God, you don't know much about the Bible, what I want to communicate is we're thankful you're here. Some of the things that you've heard already may seem weird or strange, and maybe you don't agree, but what we want you to know is we're so glad you're here. We're not trying to be intimidating about anything. You may be confused by some things that are said and like, what does that mean? And if you're confused, probably most other people are confused. So we want you to know that. If you get confused, it's my fault. It's not yours. So we're trying to be really unintimidating here. And talking about the Bible, because some people feel self-conscious when they hear about the Bible. But so just to try to keep things simple, the Bible is a collection of 66 books written by dozens of different authors over thousands of years. So if you just picked up a Bible and started reading it and didn't know anything about it, you'd probably think it was very confusing. I think all of us would. So the Bible and the books in the Bible are written to a specific people in a specific time. So some of those things are hard for us to understand. But the thing about the Bible is that the themes in the Bible are universal, and they deal with things that everybody experiences, like being wounded. So we're gonna be looking at a few things in the Bible. And again, I hope this isn't real confusing. If it is, it's my fault. You can ask somebody if you have any questions, who you trust, or you can write it on the Connect card. Hey, what about that? If you really want to address a question, we're happy to take those. And anyway, so we're first going to be looking at how the Bible is divided. We divide it into two different sections. The first section we call the Old Testament. Some people call it the Hebrew Bible. And it's 39 different books, and they talk about creation, how God created the world, and they talk about just different events in history and how God dealt with the people of Israel. In the Old Testament, there are prophecies or predictions about someone who was going to come that they called the Messiah. And the hope was that the Messiah was going to make things right. Because we know the world that we live in, there's a lot wrong. And the hope was that there's a Messiah that's talked about in the Old Testament. There are prophecies, predictions about the Messiah that would come and maybe what the Messiah would do. Now, so the Old Testament is that first part of the Bible that we have, the 39 books. The second part, there's 27 books in the New Testament. And the New Testament tells us the story about Jesus. And it talks about the early church that started, because Jesus, it says, was a teacher who came. The New Testament teaches us that Jesus mysteriously somehow was fully man and fully God, and he taught us the way of God. He talked about something called the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus was teaching about that, and he showed it by healing people and doing miracles. He calmed storms. He fed crowds. He healed people of their diseases. There were blind people. He gave them sight. There were deaf people. He let them hear. People who couldn't walk, he made them walk again. So Jesus did that. He taught, he lived, he healed, and then he died. And then the craziest thing of all is that the New Testament writers told us that Jesus came back from the dead to show us that everything that he had taught was valid, that he had authority. And then so the New Testament also, after telling us about Jesus' life and death and resurrection, and then he ascended into heaven, and then he's going to come back, and then it talks about the early church and the experiences of these people who started meeting together. There's a gathering of people. Jesus said, go make disciples. Disciples, a student, a learner, someone who follows him. So they're trying to figure out what it all means. And it's confusing, just like it is for us at times. But they're trying to figure it out. So there's these history, there's these things that happen in the early church. And there are these letters that are encouraging and also teaching, instructing to people who are trying to figure out what it means to follow Jesus. And then at the end, there's another prediction that the Messiah, who Christ, the New Testament says that Christ, Jesus Christ, is the Messiah predicted about in the Old Testament, that he will come back again in the future. And that hasn't happened yet. So that may seem confusing. I hope it doesn't, but I apologize if it does. But that's kind of just a little snapshot of the Bible, because we are going to start this morning in a book called Isaiah. And Isaiah was in the Old Testament. It was written about 700 years before Jesus was born. And in Isaiah, we look at, this is a prediction of what we believe was Jesus. And it says this: he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. 700 years or so before Jesus walked the earth, this is what was written. And my family read this passage in Scripture together one night a few weeks ago. And so we read this, and I explained, hey, this was written way before, hundreds of years before Jesus, but it talked about Jesus and his death for us. And then my daughter Viola asked a great question. She said, okay, if this is written about something in the future, why is it written in the past tense? Because you notice that's in the past tense, isn't it? I thought, wow, that's a great question. I don't know if I have a good answer. Let me get back with you on that one. And we will. But first, again, I want to shift, if that's okay, thinking about that. So this is something 700 years before Jesus. that we believe in the church was written about Jesus and his suffering for us. And I want to turn to a story written by John in the book of John. It was about Jesus' friend Lazarus. And he was with his disciples. They're kind of away from the center of it all. And he receives this message that his good friend is terminally ill and it's urgent. And Jesus says this. He takes his time before getting back to his friend Lazarus. And he says this. This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it. So if you don't know the story of Lazarus, it's great and you can check it out in John chapter 4. But we're going to do a spoiler here. Lazarus dies. Lazarus dies. Jesus gets there 4 days late. He's been in the tomb. He smells. And then Jesus goes and he says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes back from the dead. So, did Lazarus die? Did he? Yes, right? So, is Jesus wrong when he says this illness does not lead to death? Yeah, I was like, kind of not. No, not really, though. Because Lazarus' illness did not lead to death, but Lazarus' illness led through death. Because it didn't end in death. Death was just a part of the illness. Now again, that's weird because when we think of death, we think of the end. So if somebody gets sick and they die, they don't generally come back to life. Now we have a different concept maybe of resuscitation. Somebody's heart stops beating. Maybe it's happened to someone in here. You know someone. Their heart has stopped beating and they're flatlined on the table. And they're technically dead. And then their heart starts beating again, so they're resuscitated. So that the death was a part of their healing and a part of their sickness, but that sickness didn't end in death. So we kind of understand that with resuscitation, that a flat line is not necessarily the end, that a person can be resuscitated. But this is a resurrection. But so even though this didn't lead to death, it did lead through death, which is kind of a strange concept for us. Well, let us shift again now back to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, because we left out how the fifth verse ends. And it says this, and with his wounds we are healed. I want to go back now and tell you about my stabbing. I'm going to show you a picture of the guy who stabbed me. So go ahead, let's pull that up. I don't know if you can see that. See the guy in the middle, Tony Dungy? Tony Dungy is not the guy who stabbed me, okay? But the guy to the left of Tony Dungy is named David Porter, and David Porter is the guy who stabbed me. And he is not in jail today. And let me tell you about the circumstances. Even he's next to Tony Dungy here, and he was with the Colts on the sidelines of the Super Bowl like a few days before he stabbed me. He's not a felon or a violent criminal. He is a doctor. He's a surgeon. And so he prayed for me before I had surgery, and he called for me, but he did stab me. So I was a little bit misleading, wasn't it? It's not as it seems. But I'll have to tell you, I had torn my Achilles. And it had been a few weeks, and at first it hurt really badly, and then I kind of recovered. And by the time I saw Dr. Porter, man, I was walking pretty good. I barely had a limp. I was feeling okay. And then I'll tell you what, when Dr. Porter cut me, he sliced me with about a 3-inch slice. And for a week, I couldn't walk. And it hurt. So I went from being able to walk and okay, and then he stabs me, and I couldn't walk. And it hurt, and it took me a long time to even get back to walking with a slight limp. So for months and months, I was worse because of the wound that he gave me. So the scar, if I were to show you the scar that I have, the 3-inch scar, the scar did not come from my injury. When I tore my Achilles, you couldn't see it. It just looked strange in my calf, but you couldn't see anything. There was no scar, there was no cut. But the scar that I had came from the healing. I didn't have a scar because I tore my Achilles. I had a scar because my Achilles is fixed And now I can walk and run and jump and sort of play basketball. At least I try. But I wouldn't have been able to do that without that wound. And by that wound, I am healed. Sometimes wounds can be healing. Today we are not here because Lazarus was raised from the dead. We're here because Jesus was raised from the dead. Jesus died on a Friday. We call it Good Friday. And then the next day they had to hurry up because Friday was the Sabbath for the Jews. And after they put him in the tomb, they really had to stay away from him because they had to rest. So they had to hurry up because he died on a Friday afternoon and get him in the tomb. And so Saturday, nothing. He just rested and they rested. But early Sunday morning, there were some women who really loved Jesus. They were close followers. I bet they were in agony that Friday and Saturday just waiting. And they wanted to go dress his body and take care of him. And so first thing Sunday morning, as soon as they possibly could, they arrived at that tomb where Jesus had been laid. And they found two men that were described as dazzling. They were dazzling in their appearance. They were like bright. They were white. They were shining. And this is what these two men said to the women who followed Jesus. They asked this question. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Just let that sink in a little bit. Now, obviously, the women were rational. They were doing the right thing. But this question here that God asked, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. Jesus's suffering did not lead to death, but Jesus's suffering led through death. It wasn't the end, but it was part of the triumph. In the Gospels, all throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus. He's trying to explain this way of God that is so different than the way of humanity. And people are arguing with him. There's the Pharisees are known for it. They were a group of Jewish people who were very religious and studied the Hebrew scriptures. And there were scribes. They were like lawyers that would explain what they thought that the law meant, the law of God meant. And Jesus kept battling with these people and arguing. And the Pharisees are the ones who we talk about the most, the scribes and the Pharisees. But there's another group called the Sadducees. They were also in there. And the Sadducees had different beliefs than the Pharisees, whereas the Pharisees, they believed in miracles and angels and life after death, and they accepted all the 39 books of the Old Testament that we do. The Sadducees only accepted the first five books, they call the Torah, as scripture, and they didn't believe in life after death. They thought that once a person died, they were dead, and that was the end. So the Sadducees, they were known because they didn't believe in life after death. That's why they were sad, you see. I've held off from so many corny April Fool's jokes today. At least give me that one, okay? Andy Stanley used it last week and it went over well, so I thought I'd slip it in. But maybe it'll help you remember what a Sadducee is too, right? They didn't believe in life after death. They thought when a person died, they were dead. And so they were going, and we know that when a person dies, they're dead too. Christians know that too. It's not like we're silly or we know that. So they were trying to expose Jesus, who believed like the Pharisees did, that there is that death is not the end. There is an afterlife. So they had this riddle, and they were trying to just expose Jesus for how ridiculous and foolish this belief that life after death is. So they give him this riddle, and they think that they have him. And he tells them that they were in error because they didn't know the scriptures. I mean, they didn't accept them all. They had just the first five books. But more importantly, they didn't understand the power of God. That God is so much more powerful. They'd limited God. Like, God couldn't bring somebody back who's dead? Like, you don't know the power of God. You don't know the scriptures. So he pointed out their error. And then he says this. As for the resurrection of the dead, have you never read what was said to you by God? So Jesus goes to the Torah. This is in the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible. And he says this to the Sadducees, because they accept this as scripture. I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not God of the dead, but of the living. And Jesus dropped the mic and walked off, because he had him. Mic drop. He is not, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not the God of the dead, but the living. It's a pretty amazing thing. So one more time, and then we're going to shift again to Lazarus. And before Jesus brings Lazarus from the dead, he's talking to his sister Martha. And he's talking about the resurrection, because she believes in the resurrection like a good Pharisee. That, yeah, this isn't all there is. We know he's coming back. And this is what Jesus says. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. So in other words, even though Lazarus is dead, he's not dead. Even though it seems like he's dead, it's not. This is not what it seems. I know it seems like Lazarus is dead. He's not. I mean, and this, that is crazy, isn't it? Like, that would be so crazy if somebody said, I know that person, you're at a funeral home, that person's not really dead. You think they're dead? And like, if somebody just came up to me, saw a limp in me and said, hey, I noticed you're limping. Let me stab you in the leg and fix that. That's crazy. I'm going to run far away from that person. But a guy who's fixing the colt's legs, I'm going to trust him to fix my leg because he has expertise. So Jesus, this is crazy what he says. Even though he's dead, he's really alive. Except that Jesus showed he had the expertise to say it when he brought him back from the dead. And then he showed it again when he came back from the dead, proving himself to be the risen Son of God. So even though this is crazy, it's not crazy because he has the expertise. At some time in the world, it would seem crazy to be able to stab somebody and heal their leg. But now we know it's not. So this is really amazing that Jesus is the resurrection. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. This is the hope that we have, that death is not really what it seems to us. Pain is not always what it seems to us. The wounds that we carry that seem like they'll never heal are not what they seem to us. So what do we do with this, right? What do we do? Say we do believe that Jesus came back from the dead. What do we do? As we're thinking about following him, I want to look at something that a guy named Dietrich Bonhoeffer said. Bonhoeffer challenged Hitler in Nazi Germany, and he was in it, just really resisted Hitler and taught people to be disciples and that following Jesus has a cost. And he famously said, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Again, that's crazy. Come and die. Who go? That's terrible marketing, right? Imagine that advertising a commercial. Come here and die, right? Commercials are this will make your life better. But Jesus says he calls a man to come and die. And this is what Jesus said himself. I think he's referring to this. Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Crazy again, except for that he came back from the dead. Crazy in our kingdom, but this is an upside down kingdom that Jesus has been talking about. It's completely the reverse a lot of times with our kingdom. As we've been saying, in the upside down kingdom, the least is the greatest. Losing is keeping. Suffering leads to healing. And dying is the way to living. So what is it to die? It's holding life with open hands. It's dying a little bit to our selfishness, one decision at a time. It's choosing to serve when we'd rather be maybe kicking our feet up. It's not insisting on our own way when we really, really want to. It's trying to think about what's best for the person next to me instead of what I want. Dying is happens. It happens one decision at a time when we try to take ourselves off the throne of life and let the Lord be on the throne. We die. And in our death, somehow we trust that Jesus will resurrect us. That when we die is when we truly live. We rely on him for resurrection. We can embrace wounds with hope that the wounds can lead to healing. Jesus' resurrection, again, it validated the upside-down kingdom of God. And we're going to close with John's vision of the Messiah's return. Because Lazarus showed, Jesus knew that he was going to bring back Lazarus from the dead before he even did it. He showed he knew it. Just like Isaiah uses past tense about something 700 years later because he knew it was going to happen. So God just knew that this was going to happen, so he can write it in past tense. And just as Isaiah wrote with certainty, inspired by God, about the Messiah that would suffer, come to suffer, John wrote about the Messiah that would come hundreds of years later, thousands of years later, who would come to heal. And this is what John wrote about the Messiah's return to redeem pain. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Write it down. We're going to put this in past tense, or it doesn't matter. Write it down. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. If Jesus died for our sins and was raised, and I believe that he did, we can write this down. We can count on it. If it's true, if Easter is true, then and by his wounds we are healed. The disappointment that we suffer, the pain, the grief can be redeemed. We can live with hope because wounds are even less about the injury and more about the healing and redemption. Death is no longer a terrible ending, but a glorious beginning. He is risen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the author of life and maker of everything. You are eternal, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus even said that you are not the God of the dead, but of the living. Sometimes the pain of this world can overwhelm us and tempt us to despair. And sometimes we choose the path of death instead of the path of life. But this morning we look to you for healing and hope. Help us to experience the healing power of your wounds. We seek the living Spirit of the living God to give us life. Help us to be people who believe in redemption. Help us to be people who spread hope. Help us to live out the upside-down kingdom of God, where the least are the greatest, the weak are the strong, the humble are the honored, losing is keeping, and dying is the way to living. Jesus Christ, help us to follow you in a way that pleases you and blesses others. And may the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead live in us. Amen.